Today, we will be reading Matthew 17. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would open your word to us. Give us ears that will hear and understand. Give us hearts that are open to hearing your word. Give us minds that are quick to understand and feet that are willing to follow. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Guide us, direct us, lead us. We want to hear your voice and see you today, Lord. So speak to us. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we'll be reading Matthew 17. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done with him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2-drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children, or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But, so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them from my tax and yours. In today's reading, we begin with the story of the Transfiguration. Now, what does this mean? Well, Jesus goes up and he changes. And what's really happening here is Jesus is giving a few of his disciples a chance to see him as he really is. That Jesus, we believe, is God who has come to live as a human. But God is not limited to human form. And so here they begin to see a glimpse of the fact that Jesus is more than he appears to be. He has changed in front of their eyes. His face shines like the sun. His clothes become as white as the light. And so they see him in a totally different way. Now, at the same time, Moses and Elijah come and talk to him. And so Peter sees this and is like, wow, this is great. We should stay here forever. Let me build a tent for you. But Jesus wants them to know that this is not a permanent thing. And then God the Father actually speaks and says, this is my son. I believe this is to confirm for the disciples who Jesus is, to help them know him better. And then later, after he comes back to life, then they will talk about this more. But at this point, it was intended to give them faith, to give them strength, that as Jesus nears the end of his earthly ministry and is eventually arrested and killed, this event was intended to show them and remind them there's more going on than what we see. Jesus is not just a mere person. He is more. He is God himself who has come to live among us. And they see that here for a few minutes. Now, at one point, they ask, why is it that Elijah was supposed to come first? And here they are referring back to something in the Old Testament. He is referring to a passage in Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Here, Malachi the prophet is speaking about the future. And God is revealing to him and saying, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Now, here, Jesus is saying that yes, Elijah will come. In fact, he already has. And it's not Elijah, it's not exactly Elijah himself, but instead a prophet with the same spirit, the same attitude and character as Elijah has come, and that was John the Baptist. And so Jesus says that just like they treated John the Baptist very badly, they will also treat him badly, and they'll end up killing him as well. Now, next, Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. He comes down and finds a crowd gathered, and this father has a son who is very sick and has problems, is possessed by a demon. And his disciples were unable to heal him. And so Jesus quickly drives out this demon, and the boy is healed. The disciples ask, why is it that we couldn't do this? Why could we not drive out the demon? And he says, because you had little faith. And so he tells them if they had more faith, if they had just a little bit of faith in him, and in the power that he has and that he has given to them, they would be able to even tell a mountain to move and it would move. Now, in another passage in Mark, there is actually a little bit more to this conversation recorded. And it says that this kind only goes out with prayer and fasting. And so what Jesus is saying here is that they must have faith, that they have to trust him in order for this to happen. The other passage in Mark, though, adds that prayer and fasting are also necessary. And so there are times when we pray and we ask God to do something, we need to have faith and we need to pray and fast and diligently seek God. Now, I want to just say this does not always mean that if we have enough faith, God will give us every single thing that we ask. But instead, we must have faith in order to get anything from God. It is a fine line between praying in faith and then demanding that God give us something. When we pray in faith, we believe that God is powerful, that God is able to do whatever he says. But we also pray in faith, believing that God knows best. And that sometimes, even though we have faith and know that God can do what we are asking him to do, sometimes God has better, higher plans that we may not understand. And those plans might be difficult for us, but God's way is best. And part of faith is believing not just God's power to do things for us, but also God's goodness, and trusting that God is good no matter what, even if he does not give us the thing that we want, that God is so good. And that if he does not give us what we want, then he has a better plan. Now, it may be difficult for us, but his plan is best. And we may not understand why until we get to heaven and are able to see the big picture, that how this pain and difficult time in our life might be used by God in the life of another person to encourage them, to challenge them, to bring them to him. It might bring us closer to him. That sometimes difficult times grow us. But either way, faith is important. We have to trust God, his power, and his goodness. Finally, Jesus predicts his death another time. And he says that he is going to have to die. And he just reminds them again that his purpose here has been to come to die. That he has come to teach, to lead, but ultimately to give himself in place for us. At the very end, Jesus is approached by Peter, who is asking about the temple tax. Now, Jesus says, oh, well, a king does not make his son pay tax, but because we don't want to offend others, I will pay the tax. Jesus is actually God himself. So why should he pay a tax to the temple? But he wants to demonstrate that he will submit to this because he wants to make an impression and be an example to those around him. And so he encourages us to pay our taxes, to do what we have to do, because we are an example to those around us. So, I think for me the biggest thing from today is remembering who Jesus is with the Transfiguration. That he is not just a mere man, but he is God himself. And as such, we can trust him. We can believe that what he says is true. We can have faith in him that he can do anything he promises, and we can trust what he says is true and good, and we can follow him. Let's pray. Lord, help us to trust you today. Lord, help us to have faith and to know that you are God, that you are good. Help us to follow you, even when it seems difficult, even when we don't understand. Help us to follow you in faith, knowing that you know best. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.